Comments made on the Serotalk Podcast Network are those of the individuals and do not represent Serotalk Corporation, its staff, management, board of directors, or third-party resellers.
Welcome to the Serotalk Podcast.
Welcome to the Serotalk Podcast, your portal to the accessible digital lifestyle.
www.serotalk.com.
A production of Serotalk Corporation, makers of System Access, the System Access Mobile Network, and SA2Go. Learn about new technology, cool software, useful websites, education, information, entertainment, user comments, and much more. And now, here's your host, Jamie Pauls.
Welcome to Serotalk Podcast 95, February 13th, 2012. I'm Jamie Pauls.
I'm Ricky Enger.
I'm Joe Steinkamp.
Lots of updates this week in the AT world. Let's start out with WindowEye 7.5.3. Stability improvements. We said that last time. There are more this time. Also, native support for Qt-based programs that would include the Kindle PC app and Tappet Radio. Support for the new Braille Edge from HIMSS and some Windows Live and Thunderbird improvements.
If you're new to GW Micro products, you can check out their How Do I Do That series. And it's a video series. They're little three-minute tutorials, which have audio components talking about what you're going to do, as well as a visual component for teachers and sighted trainers and that sort of thing, so that they can visually get an idea of how to interact with WindowEyes as well.
There's a new JAWS update for version 13. Some fixes across the board or improvements. Research It has some enhancements, IE, Firefox, Thunderbird, and of course Microsoft Office, so go check that out. There's also an update to Zoom Text, or up to version 10.0.1 now. And Joe, why don't you go ahead and talk us through some of the improvements there?
Yeah, the new AI squared Zoom Text 10.0 is out, and the free update to make it 10.1, which is very normal for Zoom Text to have a couple of updates immediately after a whole number release, includes some fantastic things like more European voices and support for those, increased support for iTunes, which is a very big one. Also work with the Java Access Bridge. And there are many ways you can get it. You can actually go over to aisquared.com and go to support and go to updates, or you can do it from inside Zoom Text itself by going to the help menu and check for updates. Or if you're one of those people that had automatic updates already installed, you probably already have it and didn't even realize it. Full disclosure, I'm a Zoom Text user, and I'm extremely happy with some of the things that have come in Zoom Text 10. And I've not really played too much with their enhanced camera support, which also came in 10.1, but I'm excited to see what happens in that arena. So along with Serotalk, things that we've talked about in the past with Zoom Text, this is a really crazy new whole number release, and it's really worth a look if you haven't already downloaded the trial.
The update that I'm personally most excited about is one from Serotalk. We have just released a major update to the Accessible Event Meeting platform, and the team has worked really hard on this, and we're pretty proud of it, with good reason, I think. If you're not familiar with Accessible Event, this is a method by which you can stream audio and video to an audience, along with showing content such as PowerPoint presentations, Word documents, web pages, even internal intranet web pages and that sort of thing. You can show all that to an audience. And I think a lot of people hear the phrase meeting platform, they go, boring, because you don't really want to think about the equivalent of sitting around a boardroom table and going, now we're going to discuss the financial reports for the last quarter. You can certainly do that with Accessible Event, but there's a lot more to it than that. You can use this, as many people do, to conduct a computer users group where you all get together and discuss the latest technology. You can use it for distance learning, sort of a classroom setting, that sort of thing. So really, the sky's the limit. Check it out. We've got live text chat, support for multiple presenters, the ability to poll the audience. People will be able to present from the Mac as soon as the app is approved in the store. And you can even do some of the event management from your iDevice. If you want to check out more information. That's www.accessibleevent.com.
And if you listen to This Month in AT, or if you join us when we do those live, you'll get to experience Accessible Event. In fact, that's what we use there to demonstrate our content that we're talking about. And that's where the real fun happens, is in live chat. So as we're actually doing the podcast live for everyone, you can join into live chat and talk with others and make fun of the guest, as people have been known to do, or you can add your own comments about what they're saying, as people have been known to do. But it's a great live experience, too. So keep your ear to the ground. Follow Serotalk at twitter.com/Serotalk to be able to know when the next This Month in Assistive Technology is coming up, so you can participate with this really neat, fun platform.
And our final bit of AT news this week: experience your world with the new 6-dot Braille labeler. I haven't actually had a chance to look at this thing. I'm kind of curious exactly. I know that you can hook a keyboard up to it and type Braille labels, and it looks like you can do quite a bit. I mean, you can pretty much use any Braille characters, I think, that you want. Or have either Ricky or Joe, you had a chance to actually look at this thing?
I haven't. It looks intriguing. I like the idea of not having that big giant metal Braille labeler that could double as a weapon, and you have to turn the wheel and squeeze down on the thing to print your Braille cell. This can print not only standard Braille characters, but math and musical symbols as well, so that makes it quite nice. And it's apparently quite portable, too. It's battery operated. So again, the concept is intriguing. I haven't seen it yet. I hope to get my hands on one of these at CSUN.
I've played with a lot of things in the past, like Jot-a-Dot and other things that have kind of sort of gone in this direction. But this seems really exciting with some features that kind of go beyond what we've seen with people that have tried to develop something like this before. And I agree with you. I think we need to take a look at it at CSUN for sure. And there is a website here in the show notes if you want to learn more about the device.
Moving on to news in the world of Microsoft, the consumer preview of Windows 8 is coming out on February 29th, and there is a ton of speculation about what is and isn't going to be in Windows 8. We have two articles coming up next in the show notes. One says that Windows 8 is going to have the start button removed. The next article says that it will not be removed.
Oddly enough, they don't contradict each other as much as it might seem on the surface, because the first article speculates, and in fact Microsoft was pretty forward about this, that there isn't going to be the clickable start button that users are used to seeing. But the article which talks about no, it's not going away, what Paul Thurrott says here is that you're not going to have a visual indicator of it, but there will be a hardware button on Windows tablets that acts as the physical start button. And of course, we all have those on our Windows keyboards as well. If you don't, you can use Control Escape. So it's going to be something that's accessed from the keyboard, and its visual representation is maybe not necessary anymore.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think what I get from these articles, and we actually have two more contradictory articles coming up, is just how much different Windows 8 really probably is going to be, and how much, I guess, consternation and speculation that is causing, not among the blind community this time necessarily, but just among the sighted community as well. We have an article that is 5 reasons why Windows 8 will be dead on arrival. Things like no one needs Windows 8 on the desktop, you know, or on desktops, thinking it's more toward mobile users. They don't like Metro. I think it's kind of ugly. Just on and on.
My biggest takeaway from this article is that people are not really enamored of change. The article points out that with Windows 7 today, you could put that same person in front of a Windows 3.1 machine, and while the interface looks a little different, the concepts are pretty much the same. And so Windows 8 with the Metro interface, the article states the concern that people just aren't going to want to learn this new way of doing things simply for the sake of learning this new way of how to do things. There is an article that kind of counters this, saying 5 reasons why Windows 8 is really going to be okay. And here they talk about things like Enterprise is not going to adopt it immediately, but they probably will after it's been out for about a year. They talk about how tablets are more prevalent, and so you're kind of going to want an interface that's the same across the desktop and the tablet. And of course, PC manufacturers aren't going to continue to sell Windows 7 PCs. They're going to have Windows 8 on everything. So in some ways, you may not have a lot of choice when you purchase a new machine.
That's no different than Apple. I mean, some people immediately say, well, I'm going to hold on to my Windows XP forever. Well, you can try and do that. Microsoft will actually end of life Windows XP in 2014, which means that you won't actually have a lot of support left for that. You won't have active support. So security updates and things like that will slowly stop for Microsoft because that's an operating system that's more than 10 years old. And actually, there are three other operating systems that now come before it. And Apple does the same. They have actually stopped a lot of updates for, well, even earlier versions of Snow Leopard. So the idea that this is exclusively a Microsoft thing is not realistic, as well as things move on. Things move on, technology, you know, changes, and we all have to adapt. The other part of this, though, is that, you know, Windows 7 has sold 350 million copies, and that's a lot of PCs. So, again, Windows isn't going anywhere, but it does take time for people to adapt and move to the newest version. And, again, Windows 8 is just kind of something where Microsoft has to make a decision on where they're going, and they have to change. And this is one of those things where consternation is good, and that's why you want to try the consumer preview if you're interested. Because you can provide that feedback to Microsoft, and they've actually changed some things, it looks like, from the developer preview back in September. So this is the time that you really want to get interested if you are one of those people that says, oh man, Windows is blank, or Windows isn't as good, or I wish Windows could do blah, because Microsoft will be listening during the preview.
So February 29th is the day that you'll be able to go out and grab that consumer preview.
Well, it's been a whole week since we've talked about Facebook. I think we better talk about them again this week.
Yes.
Can we?
Can we get enough Facebook?
Yes. Yes, can we can. Let's do
My
that.
My new name for them is Face Crook.
Ouch.
Ow, yeah.
Face
no
Crook.
Kidding.
Can we create a new SPN show exclusively dedicated to Facebook? And we could do it daily.
Oh, please. Yes. Let's do that suggestion you made.
Right now. And you get to host it.
But can it run for 3 years like these pictures? Because, wow, did you know that Facebook will hold on to your pictures even though after you've deleted them for about 3 years?
This is kind of horrible and embarrassing for Facebook, honestly. And not like that's the first time something like that's ever happened. But the article that we're talking about discusses how if you're deleting photos from Facebook, they won't be visible from the main Facebook interface. But if somebody has gotten a direct URL to that photo, that direct URL still works. And it does so even 3 years later. There are pictures that people posted quite some time ago, and then they kind of rethought that. You know, maybe I shouldn't show myself holding two beers and wearing a Santa hat or whatever. Maybe it doesn't look so professional. I want to delete that. If somebody's got that URL, they can go and grab it. And Facebook has been contacted several times about this, and they keep saying, we're working on it, we're working on it. And this time they're kind of saying, we really mean it this time. We're going to get rid of this legacy system that never actually worked very well anyway, and get rid of these photos that should have been gone a long time ago.
It's been interesting on Tech News Today and other Twit sites. They've been talking about this story, and some people say, well, it's SQL related or it's database this. And if they deleted this, they would delete this whole tree. And, you know, it goes back to web design from X number of years ago. And then someone just said, well, you know what? Why not replace that whole string with a big black box that would have just taken the picture away instead of deleting a picture, or gave the user the ability to go in and change kind of that philosophy. So it's interesting because there apparently really is some technical portions of Facebook that are legacy that they're kind of stuck with. And that's why they're kind of saying it's going to take us a while. But really what's driven this is their public filing for stock. And so they're going to have to be a lot more out in the front of what they do for security, how they do things, because it all has to file under the SEC. So there may be some changes coming to this sooner and faster than we think, and Facebook may actually be a little bit more publicly forward-thinking because of this stock offering.
I think they have to be, otherwise really bad things are going to happen.
Yeah, I agree. Well, Verizon's going to team up with Redbox to offer video streaming service. You know, right now you can go to the grocery store or wherever and get movies from Redbox. I know my wife and I have done it many times. But in the second half of 2012, Verizon's going to offer streaming videos. So it's going to be interesting to see if, like, you can actually use your computer or your smartphone. It'd be interesting to see if there is any accessibility in this for blind people.
I'll be cautiously optimistic. The good thing about this is that it's not restricted to, say, Verizon Fios customers or anything like that. It is going to be available to anyone who wants to subscribe. So that's a good thing.
Yeah. I found this next article kind of interesting. The U.S. is going to equip military officers with Android devices. I've been working on this for quite some time now. Soldiers are not allowed to use smartphones to send classified messages. They're just not secure enough. But they're working on some modified Android devices. And Apple, when they were first approached by the government, just wasn't real interested in giving, you know, access to the OS for the government to make the modifications. And Android was very open, Google, and was very willing to work with them. And now all of a sudden, Apple's maybe a little bit more interested in talking to them, but apparently maybe a little too little too late, it sounds like.
Well, it's funny. One of the largest contractors for the United States, Halliburton, actually went this week and said that they're getting rid of BlackBerry and going Apple iDevice. So you've got the military going Android, and you're going to have one of the military contractors going Apple. Incompatibility or cross-platform? Which do you want to decide?
Poor RIM is all I can say. I think we say that like once a podcast.
Yeah, we do.
RIM used to be the choice for secure access to things like this, and now they're just not being considered at all. Ouch. I like this next story because it gives me a chance to say Wolfram Alpha. We should have the opportunity to do that at least once a podcast as well. Wolfram Alpha is releasing Wolfram Alpha Pro, which basically will give you a chance to download your data in different formats. You can download higher quality graphics if you're looking at something that requires those. You can also input different types of data than you can with the current version of the service. And it's going to be available as a subscription. So lots of students and professors and others are going to be pretty happy about this, I think.
The article and others have said actually that Wolfram gets 1/4 of their information requests now from Siri. And that's kind of interesting because, you know, Wolfram Alpha does actually power Siri in a lot of its searches. And it's neat to see that they're going just beyond, you know, Apple users. They're actually going to take that data and what they've learned from it and open it up to everyone. And you may see more Siri clones on variable platforms as we go forward. So it may actually turn out to be something very interesting in the future.
Well, mentioning Apple and Siri, our next article talks about the top 5 worst things about the iPhone 4S. Number 5 on the list, dropped calls. Thanks to Verizon, that's improving a little bit. Some data coverage and speed problems. I don't know why that's specifically iPhone 4. I would think that's just mostly what carrier you're with, I guess.
Well, everybody wants 4G, and that's not available on the 4S just yet. You know, everything has to happen faster, faster, and we're assuming that's coming with the iPhone 5, but who knows? One thing that surprised me, and I'm not really sure why, one thing on this list is that people hate the small screen of the iPhone. And to me, it seems big. I don't want a larger phone than that. But then again, I'm not looking at the screen. And so people want something much larger because that's fairly common on Android phones. And iPhone owners, I guess, I mean, the article makes it sound like they're squinting and they have their nose against the screen and they can only read 3 characters at a time. And it's obviously not that bad. But Guess everybody wants something bigger.
Well, there's two things with that. Apple likes to use certain types of fonts, and they're famous for that. In fact, read the Steve Jobs book to learn a lot about font development and how Apple played a role in that. The other side is that you accurately hit it. A lot of the Android phones are 4 to 4.3 to even 5-inch screens, and you're seeing that with the move to have more text on at one time. As people have grown used to touchscreen devices now, they want to have more real estate. And that's kind of why the iPad, I don't ever see myself using an iPhone, but I adore my iPad because there's a lot of real estate there and it's like a big talking piece of paper. But
yeah, but when is enough enough? When do you say this is a phone and this is a tablet? I feel like the larger screens could be like, you know, holding a tablet up to your head. Look at me.
Yeah, no, that's the, you know, 4 years ago, it was candy bar phones. Everybody had to have a candy bar phone. You know, now we've kind of sort of gone in this elastic band where things are going larger. And now, you know, it's like a trend. It's like the hems of skirts. Sometimes they go up, sometimes they go down, according to the Dow Jones. You know, it's a moment where people are getting accustomed to it, though. And with the 4G thing, Apple doesn't always jump into every new technology. And that's actually something that's really good about them. And one of the rumors that's out there says that Apple wanted to wait and see what happens with battery life and 4G devices, because that's what's hitting Android phones is, you know, you've got 4G, but you want to carry a portable charging station with you everywhere you go, because to use 4G, you're going to eat the battery like it's going out of style. So Apple does usually wait and see how that will affect the user experience. And also, you have to say it that they've got to have a reason to sell iPhone 5, so 4G may actually be one of those things that might give you the reason to upgrade.
They're going to have a better battery in the iPhone 5 then, because even in the 4S, that's one of the biggest complaints, is that the battery life is just not that great.
And I suppose ending on a bit of a positive note then, the things that people do love about the iPhone 4S is Siri and the user interface. I suppose that should not be a surprise, honestly, the user interface especially.
In Macland, we have an article speculating, does Apple lull people into a false sense of security on this platform? The article talks about how Apple never really says anything about how installing antivirus and anti-spyware is a good thing. And it talks about how if you put Macs and Windows side by side, there's probably a lot more developed for Windows that is malicious, but Mac people are just as vulnerable to phishing scams, you know, social engineering, that sort of thing. They're just as vulnerable as Windows people. And the article says, is Apple making them believe this? Because they say, oh, you're virtually secure and you never have to worry about any of this. The problem I have with this is that I don't know how many people read this Apple rhetoric. You know, to me, they buy the machine and they use it. They don't necessarily go and read through whatever Apple has to say about security.
No, but those Apple Switcher ads from 2005, you know, you don't have to worry about viruses. You don't have to click on allow. You don't have to remember they made fun of Microsoft and the UAC prompts. When, you know, what Microsoft did was copy what Apple did with actual, you know, updating, and except you had to put in your password on Apple updates. I mean, there's a little bit of give and take here, but the Apple ads from several years ago touted the fact that you didn't have to worry about viruses. So I kind of sort of understand where this article is coming from.
Yeah, and they've always been that way. I think that social awareness of viruses in general has kind of nipped that in the bud. And I don't so much hear the argument anymore of, well, Macs are more secure because nobody's writing viruses for this platform. People don't try that anymore. But I don't know that a person on one platform is any more or less vulnerable than anybody else to social engineering and
or
phishing
Facebook
scams. And yeah,
I think the article here is there a persistent argument or thought here that Apple doesn't want to discuss these things or promote these things? And it would be contradictory to their earlier marketing that, you know, no, we're fine, because they've lived off the back of that for a while. Security through obscurity came through the Mac.
Well, it's not very magical or amazing to talk about viruses and things like that. You know, this is the Apple utopia. Surely that stuff doesn't happen. I think it's hard for them to discuss something like that while still maintaining this feeling of, you know, everything is amazingly great or insanely great.
Just
sorry.
Download that 3.2 security update we posted from software update. You'll be fine. It's great. Everything's okay.
Well, and the article says, you know, that Mac users tend to lose more money. So apparently they may fall for some of these scams. Is it that Windows users are just more savvy?
No, it's just Macs cost more.
Is that what it is? Okay.
Yeah, no, it's Macs cost more.
This looks suspicious, but it's on my shiny screen, so it must be okay.
Right.
Yeah, and then that's, I think that's part of it, is that, again, you have a kind of a culture that had, you know, going around it, which is hackers don't necessarily attack these units, and so I feel more secure to click on whatever link you send me, Jamie, because I know I'm sort of protected. That's a Windows thing. Right. Windows get viruses. Windows have that problem. That's not my problem. I use a Mac. So. Right. I think that's kind of it. And again, we're bringing this up here on the podcast to just make people aware that that conversation still happens. And it may not necessarily be you, the person who's listening. It may be your mother or father or relative that is considering a Mac for those things, because these words came out of my brother's mouth a year ago. And so that's why it does happen. There are people who think, well, by buying a Mac, I've at least taken care of that problem. I don't have to worry about viruses anymore. Woohoo!
Well, we can't go very long without a little rumor mill circulating around about Apple that just seems to be what they do best, or what other people do when talking about Apple, actually. And this particular one is of interest to me, especially because on May 3rd, I have a chance to upgrade my phone, and I would love to run out and buy a shiny new iPhone 4S. But should I wait for possibly the iPhone 5, which could see a June debut, according to the latest rumor, at the World Developers Conference, this report says.
I wonder if the audience can tell you. We should ask everybody, should Jamie wait for iPhone 5 if his date is May 3rd?
Right.
Or should he just bite the bullet and go with the iPhone 4S, because the iPhone 4S is magical, wonderful, and great, which it is. But what should Jamie do? Should he go with the new, or should he wait for the newer?
Or should he buy one of them and then the very following month break his contract and buy another one?
No, that would be Pete Bosley. No, don't.
We already have one of those. We don't need another.
Yeah, Pete over at Triple Click Home, one of our hosts, will buy every iOS device imaginable, including the rumored iPad 3. Which may be the first week of March is what we're hearing now, is that there may actually be an iPad 3. The rumors going around that there will be an announcement possibly at the beginning of March, which will then possibly mean that the iPad will go on sale about a week later. The current rumor at the time of this recording is that it will have a better Retina-like screen, not the true Retina technology, but something like it on a bigger scale. The camera may be better, which is good, because the camera couldn't get much worse right now. The ability for Siri is still up for debate, because this week we heard that Siri needed the A5 chip and dual microphones to be able to use noise cancellation. But reports and spies out of Foxconn are saying that there isn't two microphones on the iPad 3 as of yet. Of course, this is all rumor. And the other part is that it'll have a bigger battery. So that's kind of great, because I can't imagine – my iPad 1 actually has awesome battery life as it is. I can't even imagine better battery life. That'd be great. But probably for the faster processor, it might all equal out. So we will see more as we get closer to the end of this month whether we have a new iPad to talk about.
Coming up after the break, a couple of iReports and two shocking stories right here on the Serotalk podcast.
In the small town of Elmira, New York, a boy was born into an all-American family. The odds of him opening his own clothing store at the age of 18? 1 in 138,000. Excited to be a part of pop culture, he packed for the big city. The odds of finding someone to invest in his vision? 1 in 4.5 million. The odds of him achieving his dream in the fashion industry? 1 in 23 million. The odds of having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 110. I am Tommy Hilfiger, and my family is affected by autism. I encourage you to learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
We're back here on Serotalk Podcast 95. Our first iReport is about Hulu.
This is Joshua Loya out in San Diego, California. I was pleased to find out when I had gone through and tried the free trial of Hulu Plus, just on the off chance that it was voiceover accessible, it wasn't. And so I canceled my membership and made a point to tell them that was why. Not too long ago, I still had the app installed on my iPhone, and I noticed that the update that was in the descriptions for the update for the most recent version of the Hulu app, at least for the iPhone, it said it now includes voiceover support. I went ahead and signed up for a Hulu Plus account again, and while not perfect, it is actually, in my opinion, significantly more accessible in many ways than the Netflix app. So we now have at least another option, those of us needing the use of screen readers in order to consume our media. I thought that would be of interest to folks. Thanks.
This is actually a huge story. First, thank you, Joshua, for calling in and sharing your feedback on Hulu. To me, again, this is a huge story. This isn't just, oh, yay, there's another app that's accessible. We've been working on this for a long, long time. Hulu Plus had a beta cycle probably about a year ago, maybe a little less. And many of us were involved in that, and we urged the community to sign up for the beta if they could and then provide accessibility feedback. Nothing happened at the time, and various members of our community continued to contact Hulu, and we actually had an open dialogue with them at one time, but still nothing happened. It wasn't until very recently when Justin Romack from the No Eyes Needed blog and podcast began talking to someone from Hulu, and they exchanged information about developing accessible iPhone apps for voiceover and what have you. And lo and behold, the latest Hulu app is now accessible. It's really hard to say what was the straw that finally brought about this change. Has this been in the works for a long, long time? Or was it about one person getting another key person on a good day and starting this dialogue? And my point in mentioning this is that you never have any idea just how effective your advocacy can be. Even if you've been rejected 99 times, that 100th time could be the time that everything falls into alignment and things move forward in a positive way. By the way, Netflix, this is clearly possible. Look at Hulu, they've done it. Are you going to step up to the plate? And oh yeah, Amazon, how about you? We'd like streaming videos. Those of us who are Prime members, we want to see that accessible.
And we've said it before, it's encouraging. It's extremely encouraging when you actually see advocacy work, when people have respectful, professional discussions with app developers, and those developers are interested and say, hey, you know what? We can make this work. And they do, and they announce it publicly. It's part of their release notes for the next update. Hey, we have voiceover improvements, and it's really a win-win for everyone. In our next iReport, Macy McLean talks to us about several different things, so we'll listen to what her comments, and then we'll have some comments of our own.
Hi, my name is Macy McLean from Bell Fountain, Ohio. I just wanted to touch on a few brief things here. First off, my I know you guys mentioned a lot about Facebook. My parents and I last Sunday went up to my grandmother's house, and we were talking about Facebook and privacy and everything. And my grandma said something like, she was trying to say that hackers can get into Facebook and hack people's Facebook accounts, but instead she said that hookers can get into Facebook, and I thought that was pretty funny. So the second quick thing is the Go Bible app, which is really by GoBible.com is accessible with VoiceOver. I downloaded it, and I really like it. I use it a lot. Also, the Bible app, I can't remember where it's from. I'll have to check and get back to you guys on that. It's accessible, and I did email the developer, and they not the developer, but people in contact with the developer, and they said that the developer was making an update. The last thing I wanted to tell you guys was I totally agree with what Mike said in his blog post about Disney. If people can just step out of their comfort zones and just talk to people, no matter what, and even if it's just an app or anything, it doesn't really matter what it is, but I totally agree with that, and people just, come on, let's stand up and fight, gather our forces. So, yeah, definitely, I really like your guys' podcast, EOL, yeah, That Android Show, all of them are just really awesome. And Ricky, oh my gosh, I loved that episode with the honey mustard contingent. That was absolutely hilarious. And Joe, I'm sorry, but I like ranch. So I'll talk to you guys later. But thank you guys so much. Bye.
Well, thank you, Macy, for those thoughts. The Go Bible app sounds especially interesting. And you were asking about the other Bible app. The only one that comes to my mind is YouVersion. And that's actually quite accessible as well. I know there are other Bible apps that people are definitely using.
Also, thank you for plugging End of Line. And if you haven't listened to that show yet, it's over at eolshow.com.
And I hear and will register another feeling about ranch. I'll put it in the little notebook I have here of ranch versus blue cheese, just in case. And if you don't know what we're talking about, definitely head over to EOL Show and be a part of the throng to tell me if I'm right or wrong about my opinions about the wallpaper paste that is ranch.
Of all the podcasts I have ever listened to in my life, that one particular episode has had more interest, I think, than anything.
It's a derisive
thing. People feel very strongly
it's
about ranch and blue cheese,
yeah,
and honey mustard.
It's Republican Democrat. It's Apple Windows. It's you know, ranch blue cheese. We have a new national pastime to sit down and talk about what is important in life. And I'm telling you, what goes on your salad is a big part of life. There you go.
Well, it's time now for Roundabout. This week, Confessions of a Frustrated Blind Chick. This is really a well-written article and a very thoughtful article. As I read it, the thought that came to my mind, first of all, it just talks about daily frustrations of a blind person. The fact that sometimes, you know, our blindness gets in our way every day, and a person, it's easy to be down on yourself and kind of beat yourself up sometimes if things go wrong. The first thought I had was you could just take the word chick out of that article and insert the word person in its place. You know, a frustrated blind person. I think we all experience it. We all feel it from time to time.
Yeah, it's definitely a universal concept. If you haven't read this article, please do, because I guarantee you that you're going to be able to relate to this. And I think a lot of us feel like it's not appropriate to talk about this stuff. We're supposed to be poised and in control and competent at all times. Never mind that that is completely unrealistic for any human to achieve. We just feel like, especially when it comes to blindness, you know, these things shouldn't happen. And if they do, I'm obviously doing something wrong. But honestly, it's just a part of life. And I think we all have to learn to deal with it in a healthy way to understand it's okay to express that frustration. But it doesn't mean that we're any less of a person because we bumped our head into the corner of the open cabinet or whatever. It's just life.
Yeah. I mean, and it happens to everyone. The most poised, confident person that you can think of that you think, wow, that person must have it together. They travel all over the world. They do this, that, and the other. Still has days that they feel that frustration and probably has things that they struggle with that if you knew what that was, you would be like, wow, I don't have so much trouble with that particular thing. So, yeah, I'm glad the article was written. I really am. Go over to serotalk.com and check out that article, definitely. Well, could I interest anyone in a jolt? And I'm not talking about the drink, actually, by the way.
Yeah,
no,
I thought you were talking end of line again. Ricky's already done one of those.
Ah.
He did Jolt Blue on the on one of our episodes of End of Line. I think I know where you're going here, but I'm going to let you continue on before I say yes or no.
Well, I mean, you know, we all could use a memory boost from time to time, I think. I know I could. And it would appear that maybe one way of accomplishing that would be a electric shock.
Oh, good. I'll sign up for that. Wait. That sounds unpleasant.
Yeah, I agree.
They've done a study that seems to indicate the ability to learn new things, to take in new information, may be improved shortly after delivering a mild shock to your brain. To me, any shock, I don't know if there's such a thing as mild when it comes to brain shocks, but that's what this study says. So if you want to volunteer, resources@saratalk.com will be sure and pass along your contact information.
Well, I think it would make a great, would make some great audio. So maybe even for End of Line, if someone wanted to volunteer, you know, we could actually set up our own homemade experiment. We have really, you know, technical people,
amateur
I'm sure.
Amateur experimentation. Well,
do torture the third chair guests very, very thoroughly. That could be incorporated into what it takes to be our guest on that show. Not that you'll find us volunteering here by any stretch of the imagination, maybe to... implement.
Well, I don't know. Why not? I understand you're not very good at math, Joe.
Well, I'll point you to a Google search of Milgram's 37, and you can get back to me on that. So, No.
I can fix your math problems, buddy. All we got to do is just shock you.
You know, my wife does the taxes for obvious reasons. I have no desire to actually take that job away from her because... my SAT verbal skills proved to me at a very early age that math's not my subject. But, you know, this is just a school of thought that's come back. You know, there was actually a lot of experimentation in the early 50s and late 60s with electric shock therapy. And so we're not trying to make light of that or if anybody's gone through that or if anybody has done that. We're not trying to say that. We're just kind of sort of pointing out these two articles that there may actually be something to this technology, and maybe it's refined enough that people can use it in certain situations. You know, people made fun of acupuncture a long time ago too, but there's a lot of people who swear by acupuncture. And so what's old is new again, I think, is what we're looking at here. And these are two interesting articles about what people are doing to see if this would help, you know, with seizures and other things like that. Definitely head on over to www.sarotalk.com to follow along with these stories as we read them or to learn more about what we're talking about.
And that's going to wrap up the news for the week. Coming up next, though, Mike Calvo joins us to talk about XPrint Server, a way to print documents from your iOS device. It's a really cool little product, and Mike shares that with us. We'd love to hear from you. Send us an iReport on iBlink Radio, either on Android or your iOS device. You can send an email to resources@sarotalk.com, or you can call 866-997-BLAB, which is 2522. Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/sarotalk. Or go to iTunes, subscribe to the podcast there, and rate us while you're over there, preferably a really good rating. So until next time, have a great week.
Thanks for listening.
Mike Calvo is back to join us again this week on the Sarotalk podcast. And you know, Mike, sometimes it's worth talking about a product because it works really well and is really easy to use. And I think this is the case with a printer or a device that allows for printing. Is that, do I have that right?
That is the case here. I'll tell you a story. It is a product we're talking about today by a company named Lantronics, and it's called the XPrint Server. Now, the XPrint Server takes care of one thing and one thing only, and that is it gives access to your network printers to any iOS device on your network. So if you have an iPad or an iPod or an iPhone and you want to print to it and you didn't want to change out your printer for this new snazzy HP line of printers that do AirPrint from Apple, well, you don't have to do it anymore. You can just plug this thing into your network and it really is that simple. Just start printing from your device. You know, I called this company up, Jamie, and it was hilarious. I got a lady named Shelby in customer service, and I called her up and I said, "Hi, Shelby. My name is Mike Calvo. I'm calling you from the Cyril Talk podcast, and we're doing a review of the XPrint server. And I have a serious problem I'd like to talk to you about." And she says, "Yes, sir." I said, "I am very frustrated with the fact that I plugged this product into my system. I opened it up. I did not read the manual because I am a technologist. Therefore, I am above reading manuals. I plugged it in and, you know, I found the cables. I plugged it into my wireless network. I went to my iPhone. I picked up a note. I hit the share button. I printed. And within 2 minutes of plugging it in, I had a document in my hand printed from this device. I am quite frustrated with your company that you did not give me more to review than that. Why is it, Shelby, that you have decided to unilaterally give me exactly what you promised? What is it with your company that makes you think, that gives you the, makes you have the audacity to give me a product that actually works out of the box, that I can plug in and not deal with for hours with customer service in some foreign country? You know, what is wrong with you people? You know, and you, Shelby, you are giggling, you are smiling, you are polite, and worst of all, your worst offense of all, you did not put me on any kind of hold throughout this entire phone call. What is your problem?" So needless to say, after she picked her jaw up off the floor, I said, "And furthermore, I want you to understand that network products of this kind are just not supposed to be this simple, you know. And I insist on having some form of problem with this product." And it just, it went on from there. And, and she was laughing. But no, I mean, I really don't have much to say about this product, except for it's $149. It is on back order. It's been on back order ever since they put the darn thing out. They can't keep them in stock. Everybody has raved about it. It is an amazing product. If you want to print from your iOS device, go buy one. It's the best $149 you'll spend. It is an amazing product. You plug it in, the darn thing works, and that's it. End of story.
And the good news is you can go to cerotalk.com and go to the show notes and just follow the link, and there you'll be right there. Well, thanks for joining us again.
You've been listening to Cerotalk. Visit us at www.cerotalk.com. Send us an email at resources@cerotalk.com. Send us an iReport with iBlink Radio, available in the Apple App Store and the Android Market. Or leave a voicemail at 866-997-BLAB. That's 2522. We may read your email or play your voicemail in the next podcast. Join us next week as we explore all that life and the internet have to offer. Until then, may you have an accessible digital life. We'll